Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. Their commitment to education goes far beyond the classroom. Lakeland.edu. Your hosts for the show, Dan Plucker, and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, on the Big Show Radio Network.
We are a minute and 22 seconds from a final at Lambeau Field as the Green Bay Packers have a commanding 45-30 lead over the Chicago Bears. It's Dan Plucker, producer of the Wendy's Big Show and now host of the Green Gold Post Game Show presented by Lakeland University here with you. Alongside is Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back, a guy that has played in this rivalry several times in his lifetime. It was a couple years ago now at this point, but still one of the most historic rivalries in sports, and they brought it today. Both teams brought it today, and it was fun from the get-go, G. It was a fun game. I mean, it may be a little bit frustrating for Packers fans as, my goodness, onside kick, and the Bears recover and take it all the way into the end zone. I'm pretty sure it's a dead spot if they recover the onside kick, though, Gary, right?
Right, it should be.
So the Bears will have the ball, a minute and 20 seconds left, and Packers still up 15. But like I said, this has been a rivalry. This has been a hell of a football game, G.
And it's a lot of things for the Packers to work on, right? Special teams today
was
absolutely horrible. I mean, just special teams has just been absolutely horrible. And I don't know what they got to do. They got to get that cleaned up. They got to get it figured out. The return game, Amari Rodgers, was bad. You just talk about the onside kick here. I mean, it's just bad. Outside of maybe, was Mason Crosby okay today? I mean, did he get all his extra points?
Yes, Mason Crosby did not miss a kick today.
Okay, good.
that's about the only positive.
And field goal block. That's it. But all your return units were horrible. Your cover units were horrible. You're looking at your own side, your own side, your hands team, horrible. I mean, this just been a game where you look at the Packers and they have really a lot to work on from a special team standpoint. And you start talking about defensively. I still think now you see some flaws in their game defensively in the secondary. Although I think those guys play well. But I still think you can see some plays where you can hit some home runs on this team in the secondary.
You can join us at 855-830-8648 on the Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line. Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson hanging out with you. A minute and 12 seconds left. The Bears driving. Packers still up two scores. It's never over until the fat lady's singing it, and she's not quite there yet. But Preston Smith brings down Justin Fields and makes it a little bit more like, even more likely that the Packers do win this one. The Bears still do have all three of their timeouts. So this is not completely over yet, but it's going down those lines. And Gary, I mean, you nailed it right on the head. This special teams unit, I mean, I'm not the type of guy that calls for people's jobs, but at what point does a decision have to be made? Like how much worse?
Well, you're not going to do it.
You can't do it in season.
No, you're not. You're just going to have to wait, ride this out until it's over. And so you just got to move forward. And I think they can. They can go back in and get some of the stuff clean. To me, special teams is really about effort and being disciplined. And they just weren't, they just didn't have that in this game. I mean, And from the get-go, they just didn't play well as a team. And that's why Chicago kind of got up on us. I mean, this game reminds me a lot of back when I played, Dan, in that the Packers clearly are a better team. I think we all know that.
Yes.
And when I played the Bears, they were a Super Bowl team. They won Super Bowl. They were clearly a better team. But with it being a rivalry, we came out and, you know, we gave it our best. And especially when you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers saying, I own you, I own you. Whether you believe it or not, it gets guys motivated to play a little bit harder. But eventually, what's going to happen? The talent's going to win out. And I think that's what you saw. I think the Bears, give them credit, they came in here with a puncher's chance. And they tried to knock the Packers out, but they just didn't have enough. I mean, the Packers just they have a better roster, better talent than the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, better coaching too, and that does play
all
a role in this.
All that.
And Nagy
but
to
I
his
thought
credit,
Nagy played. I thought he coached a really good game today.
Yes, he did. There was a lot of, not in the second half, for whatever reason. The first half,
they were doing
a bunch of different things that were confusing the heck out of the Packers defense.
Yes.
All these motions all over the place, putting wide receivers in the backfield, doing wildcat offense. We saw a bunch of crazy stuff from the Bears offense. And that's what, when you know you are an inferior team in any sport, you bring out the trick plays. And the Bears had the trick plays today. They had all of those things throwing everything, the kitchen sink at the Green Bay Packers defense, and it worked. It was working very well for the Chicago Bears for the first half of this game, which is why it was as tight as it was in that first half. That and the abysmal special teams giving up 200 yards and also taking a weird kickoff and touching it, and it goes out of bounds, and the Packers start within their own 10-yard line. It was just an ugly game across the board for the Green Bay Packers. Special teams, but also just from the start, like you were saying, Gary, they came out of this bye week and I don't know if it was they weren't prepared, they weren't up for this game. Like Rasul Douglas just got Chandon Sullivan just got the game winning interception right there. So Chandon Sullivan, there's your second one. You said Justin Fields was on your list, and there was the second one, and that will put ice on this one. As the Packers just have to take two knees now, and it'll be a final at Lambeau Field. Packers will beat the Chicago Bears 45-30, the final score. An important score for some people out there who I'm sure were betting this game and had the Bears at probably plus 11.5, plus 12. Mm-hmm. Sorry to all of you out there listening that were maybe thinking that. But this Packers team was cold coming out of their bye week. I don't know the exact perfect word for it. The offense was fine, but the special teams and the defense especially just did not kind of bring that juice in this game. And Gary, that's something we were talking about all week on the Wendy's Big Show, was that it didn't feel like there was a lot of energy, a lot of hype in this game. And it kind of took the Bears putting a whooping on them early for the Packers to wake up and be like, oh crap, we could actually lose to this team.
Well, it just seems like they were out of sorts a little bit in the first half. And I think you saw in the second half, they came out, Coastal Floor got control, the tempo of the game, and you saw them come out, run the football a little bit more with A.J. Dillon, and that slowed everything down, and they got control. They were throwing the football around way too much in the first half. I don't know why that was. But in the second half, they slowed everything down. They got in control. They took command of the game.
They did. Packers win 45-30, officially a final at Lambeau Field. Potentially Aaron Rodgers' last game as a Green Bay Packer against the Chicago Bears, and he puts on a Aaron Rodgers versus the Packers type, or versus the Bears type performance. 29 of 37, 341 yards and 4 touchdowns. The difference maker in this game from start to finish. Just an incredible performance from him. Let's get out to the phones at 855-830-8648, where you can join me, Dan Plucker, and Gary Ellerson on the Green and Gold Post Game Show presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network. Steve dialed up that number, and he's now rewarded with being on the show. Steve, give us your thoughts on the game, man. Steve, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, there you are. Steve, how's it going?
Good, good. Man, my thoughts on the game, first half, I'm sitting here like, what the hell is going on? It all comes down to me with special teams. That is just an absolute atrocious part of this team. I can't figure it out. Why can't they just punt the ball out of bounds every kickoff, making sure it's out of the end zone? I don't get why they can't. They give these teams opportunities to steal these punts, these kickoffs. They can't tackle. It's absolutely atrocious, and it could cost this team in the playoffs, and it's scary because, you know what? Defense looks great. Offense in the second half looks fantastic. But now you're going to let special teams on the punt and kickoff units really diminish you? That's scary, guys. But I hope they can figure it out because at this point, you're not going to improve your tackling. You just need to improve your game plan and where you're putting the ball as far as on the kickoffs to punts. You know what I mean?
Sure. Steve, thanks for the call. And he's dead on, and it's been an all-season-long problem. It came to a head today coming off the bye week, and you're hoping coming out of the bye week they would have some of those issues sorted out, Gary, but they just didn't. Same issues we've been seeing all season.
No, it really has been. And so, but you haven't seen it this bad. I think today was an all-time low. I shouldn't say that. Mason Crosby, just in that portion, that was bad. That was upsetting. But I think there are a lot of people to blame with Mason Crosby because you changed the long snapper and you changed the holder. So that has something to do with that. But I think for the first time this year, just the return units and the cover units, they were horrible. I mean, I don't think we've seen it this bad all year long. Like I say, they can go in, they can get this fixed. Now, if they're looking to move on from is it Drayton? I believe that
Mo Drayton. Yes. Show?
Yeah. If they're looking to move on from Mo Drayton, then that will have to come at the end of the year because you're not necessarily stuck with him, but you're gonna have to try to work it out with him for the rest of this year.
Right.
Hopefully, it didn't come back and buy us and cost us the Super Bowl.
The thing for me is though, how have more people not been given opportunities to return the football? It's been Amari Rodgers and then Randall Cobb when Randall Cobb was healthy and took one
they
snap.
They don't have anybody else.
But I just need somebody who can catch the football. Amari Rodgers has not proved to me that
else?
He can field punts. I don't know, throw Lazard out there, throw EQ, yeah. Like any of those guys, just to see if they can literally just catch a football, wave their hand, take a fair catch wherever it's coming down, and just catch the football.
Punt return for me, and I return punts, that's probably the toughest job there is out there.
No doubt.
Kickoff returns hard, so you're not just going to throw anybody out there. I mean, they just, that's all they got. They don't have anybody else. I mean, that's just who we're stuck with at this point. So they've got to ride that out. They didn't cover themselves there. They thought Amari Rodgers was the answer in the return game. It just really hadn't proven out to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Packers, regardless of the massive issues that were of the special teams today, did win the game 45-30 in what somehow felt like a game that was never really out of their possession. It felt, even when they were down early in this one, that the Packers were still capable of winning this thing and that they were going to. And sure enough, they wind up winning by two scores and in something that will invoke confidence in a lot of fans. It was a dominating performance in the second half, and it was more of a matter of when it would happen, not if it would happen, for a lot of people, I believe. And it did happen. The Packers win 45-30. You can join me, Dan Plucker, and Gary Ellerson on the Green and Gold Post Game Show, presented by Lakeland University at 855-830-8648. We'll hit a quick break. When we get back, we'll get to your calls and talk more about this Packers win next here on the Big Show Radio Network.
Comes back to the left, wide open is Jones, and he is into the end zone again on back-to-back offensive plays, 23 yards this time.
It's the Green and Gold postgame show. The Packers win 45-30 over the Chicago Bears. Now Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson hanging out with you. And Aaron Rodgers still owns the Chicago Bears. An absolute historic performance from him tonight. Four touchdowns again against the Chicago Bears team. 341 yards. Only had 8 incomplete passes throughout on 37 attempts, was absolutely dominant in this football game. And the main reason why the Green Bay Packers won this thing, Gary, he was just unbelievable tonight, as he always is against the team down south.
Well, look, I thought a little touch and go first half. I think the Chicago Bears came in and said, you know what? We're going to take Devontae Adams away. And they did that. And they forced Rodgers to try to do some other things differently until they got used to what they, you know, Chicago was playing. That really didn't happen until really in the second half. And like I said before, I think, now I don't know if they go in the locker room and Matt LaFleur says, okay, we got to start throwing the ball all over the place. Let's establish a run game. Let's get A.J. Dillon going. And once they established A.J. Dillon, and then you saw the passing game starting to work. You saw Devontae Adams start getting open, start catching some passes. Josiah DeGuara, I thought, played a really good football. I mean, you now see what Josiah DeGuara can bring down to this offense. He's your lead fullback. He's your ace back. He's your motion guy. And you can get him out in pass patterns. So I thought for him today, it may have been a coming out party for Josiah DeGuara today within this offense on how they can use him.
No doubt, DeGuara did have a really good game, Gary. And I know that a little bit, it was a touch and go a little bit early, like you said, but Rodgers still figured things out. He still got things going late in that second half, and then all of a sudden it just exploded, or late in the first half, I should say. And then The second half, it did wind up exploding, and Devontae Adams finished with 10 receptions and 121 yards for 2 scores. But you're right, that first quarter and a half of the game, the Bears did find a way to slow down Devontae Adams, and they did throw something different at the Packers, something that they have not seen, because not many people have and coaches have been able to figure out how to slow down that duo. The Bears did so early in this game. It's why part of the reason that in special teams is why the Bears jumped out to such a lead. Let's go out to Tony and Marietta. Tony, you are now on the Big Show Radio Network at 855-830-8648. Tony, give us your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I swear they better not let Rasul Douglas go anywhere. That dude is a beast. I hope that they just keep him, and I got a feeling that he's going to do something big in the playoffs. And I was mad at Rodgers for the first quarter, but once I saw that fake handoff, I knew everything was going to be okay. And just loving our defense right now. They just still managed to be opportunistic and take care of everything. And last thing, I just want to give a quick shout-out to my family, Rudy. We love you, and we miss you, buddy. So I just wanted to throw our love to him out there.
Thanks. All right, Tony. Yep, thanks for the call. And he nailed it on the head. The defense today was something else. The defense wound up allowing 7 yards until the last 2 drives where the Bears kind of tried to mount some kind of comeback. A total of 7 yards for the third and the first part of the fourth quarters in tonight's game. 7 yards. 7. It was 4 possessions, 7 yards for the Bears.
Yeah, I thought the defense was spotty in the first half, much like the offense. It felt like they, and you talked about it, it just felt like Nagy was maybe a step or two ahead of the defense, using a lot of motion, using a lot of quick game, and the Packers defensively just couldn't catch up to it until the second half. I still think that the Packers offense slowed the game down, and that was, to me, was a positive that they let the defense catch their breath and not be on the field so much.
Yeah, and you're definitely right, Gary. The defense was on the field a lot during the first couple of minutes of this game. Rasul Douglas, though, and I've been critical of him just to the point where I'm just like, this guy's so hot. At some point, he has to cool off.
I
said he has to cool off. And then he comes out tonight, gets another pick 6, and nearly has 2 in this game, because there was the one play that he broke up where if he would have picked that one off as well, he would have had 2 pick 6s in this game, and he could have had 2 last game against the Rams, too. He is playing absolutely unbelievable right now. He is.
Well, he's laying on these out routes that these quarterbacks are not really looking at. I mean, he has such good break on the football. I mean, his first step is unbelievable. And quarterbacks are just not timing it up just right.
Yeah, he's jumping a lot of routes. And it's right, like you said, it's all the underneath
the
stuff.
Break, yeah, it's the break, though. I mean, he's clearly off the guy. The guy is clearly open. But his closing speed, the way he jumps on the ball, is absolutely incredible. Now, here's what you're going to see with him. You're going to start seeing double moves on the out and up. That's coming.
No doubt.
Everybody knows he's doing it. Now they're going to get it with an out and up.
Yeah, it's going to happen eventually, and hopefully one of the safeties is there to help him out, or he just realizes that he can't keep jumping these routes all season long.
He won't realize it until he gets burned.
Until he gets burned on one of them. And that's where it's going to get a little bit concerning. You're right, GE. All right, let's go out to Ty in Philadelphia. He is now on the Green and Gold Post Game Show. Ty, give us your thoughts on tonight's game.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, dude?
What's up, Ty?
Man, listen, I'm going to stick to the positive, man. I love the defense. Rasul Douglas, man, he playing like a dog out there. Kenny Clark playing like a dog. Preston Smith playing like a dog. Eric Stokes, nobody can run past him. Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, three quarters of the way throughout the season, 2 years running. You got number 17, the best wide receiver in the game. That equals Packers, best team in the NFL, guys. Super excited. Great game.
There you go.
Ty, thanks for the call. I don't know if I can call them the best team in the NFL. I don't. I think they have the potential to be the best team in the NFL. But I don't think the best team in the NFL comes out and as slow as the Packers did tonight against the Chicago Bears and has as many special teams errors as they did tonight against the Bears. They are one of the best teams in the NFL. And when they're right and they're healthy and they're playing their football, they are tough to beat. They are very tough to beat. And they are probably the best team in the league. Talent-wise, all these things. I mean, heck, they're 10-3 without most of the season, three all-pro players, and now Elton Jenkins out too. Hopefully Billy Turner's okay. He's out now as well. And what they've been able to do, despite all of these injuries, is nothing short of incredible. But Gary, with these issues that are recurring at this point, until they can figure them out and prove to me that they are no longer a problem, especially in the special teams area, I don't know if I can call them the best team in the NFL.
Well, who is?
Probably Brady and the Bucs.
Didn't they almost lose today?
They almost lost to the Bills, yes. But they also won in overtime. And Tom Brady, when he has all of his weapons, which he has not for a majority of this season, because Evans is out a couple weeks, Godwin's been out a couple weeks, now Antonio Brown's been out a couple weeks, Gronk was out for a few weeks as well. I believe Tom Brady and the Bucs are probably the best in the league.
I mean, I think you can make a point, and I'm not saying I don't disagree with you. I'm just being on the other side of
this. Yeah, that's fine.
But you can make a point that I think the Green Bay Packers are probably, by position and by status in league, missing more than any other team in the NFL.
I agree. But some of that talent isn't coming back this year. Elton Jenkins not coming back this year. Who knows what – I mean, we haven't seen – David Bakhtiari or Jair, what he looks like playing while still injured. Za'Darius Smith coming back as well. We haven't seen those guys on the field yet this season.
No, my point being is that you say who's missing from Tampa. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you who's missing from Green Bay.
Oh, no, but no doubt. There are certainly some people.
I think from the Packers standpoint, the guys that they're missing are much greater than the guys that are missing with Tom Brady. Now, they got a good win. Buffalo's a really good football team. They're a playoff team. So, I mean, kudos to the Bucs going and getting a win. But here's a Buffalo team that lost last week to a big loss. They come to Tampa, try to steal one in Tampa. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew that wasn't going to happen. You're right. Gronk, they just got back. AB is gone. But you look at back TR, so I won't even count Elton Jenkins, but if you look at the totality of what they've lost offensively or defensively, mm-hmm. I think the loss for the Packers are much greater than the Bucs.
Right, and I agree with you, Gary. When they're fully healthy and if they can figure out these special teams woes and the times that the Packers' offense goes a little stale, like we have seen this week, we've seen in previous weeks as well against the Vikings, I can think of too, it's somewhat recurring things. And until they can completely solve those issues, it's tough for me to say that they're better right now than Brady and the Bucs. And maybe you can throw even the Chiefs, who rolled today against the Raiders and have seemingly figured out all of their issues since they played this Green Bay Packers team, and also the Cardinals out there as well. And I know the Packers beat them earlier this season, but they're also playing. I think it's those four teams that are sitting at the top of the league right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you. No doubt about it. That will be my four as well.
Yeah, so I that's the only thing for me. Until I see the Packers figure out the special team stuff, I don't know if I can call them the best team in football. But, man, they're still right there. And they have definitely shown, especially in this game even, that they can be the best team in football. And that might be the most frustrating part of all of this, because they are certainly capable of getting to those marks. It's Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson hanging out with you on the Green Gold Post Game Show presented by Lakeland University. We got to hit a quick break here. When we come back, we'll continue to break the game down. Take some more of your calls at 855-830-8648 as the Packers beat the Bears 45-30. More coming up next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. Their commitment to education goes far beyond the classroom. Lakeland.edu. Your hosts for the show, Dan Plucker, and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson on the Big Show Radio Network.
Deep, deep drop by Rodgers, and a long throw is hauled in by Adams. Sooner or later, touchdown.
He still owns them. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers defeat the Chicago Bears in convincing fashion, 45-30. It's the Green Gold Post Game Show presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network. Dan Plucker and former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson hanging out with you after the win. You can dial us up at 855-830-8648 on the Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, just like Nate in North Milwaukee did, and he is now on the Big Show Radio Network. Nate, give us your thoughts on tonight's win.
Oh, what's good, you guys? The special teams was bad today. I'm not going to put everything on Drayton, special teams coordinator, because from what I was seeing, guys weren't in lanes, weren't filling lanes correctly, and they weren't breaking down and tackling. So, I mean, he can tell them, he can put them in places, but the guys got to go out there and execute. So for people to say he should lose his job over guys not executing, I think that's highly unfair. He doesn't deserve none of the blame, but I'm saying it's 50-50. It's 50 on him and it's 50 on the guys out there on the field.
That's all I'm gonna say about that. But then it did look like guys came out slow today. So what you would expect after a bye week. But this first quarter slow streak that the offense is on, that has to get corrected, because when you go against better teams, when you go against playoff caliber teams, you're not just going to be able to just turn it on in the last three quarters.
Sure.
You're going to have to get some type of scoring in the first quarter earlier in the game to win ball games in the playoffs and when you go against better teams.
Mm-hmm. Nate, thanks for the call. And he brings up a really interesting point, because with the bye week, Gary, coming out of it, the Packers have started slow each of the last couple of seasons. They got annihilated by the Buccaneers last year in week 5 after a week 4 bye. And then the year before, they got killed by the 49ers in San Francisco 38-7. Both of those games on the road, both of those teams wind up being Super Bowl teams, and one of them obviously winning it with the Buccaneers last season. But the Packers are lucky that they were playing the Chicago Bears today and not one of those better teams in the NFC or AFC, because had they started like this against one of those teams, it could have been very similar to week 1, I feel like, where the Packers just had nothing going and it stayed nothing going all game long because the team rode that momentum. But because, like you said, the Packers had better talent, better coaching, better scheme, better everything, is why they could still pull ahead and beat the Chicago Bears today 45-30, G.
Yeah, I don't know what you make of that, because I still think, yeah, the bye week, I mean, that's a big deal. Not saying that it's not. But I still think you got to give credit to Chicago. I mean, they don't get me wrong. I mean, when you walk into somebody and say, you go, I own you, I own it, I still own you, that makes teams play a little bit better. Now, I know a lot of guys, like our good friend Leroy Butler, they don't believe in kind of stuff like that.
Right.
Because he's never played on a team like when I played on it. Because sometimes if that's all you got and that's all you're grasping for, then that's what you're kind of playing for. You're playing for pride. And you are now reaching down trying to find something to give you an edge when you just don't have the talent to do that. Now, I think some of it, right, the offense to me was out of sync. Defense didn't play particularly well in the first, you know, quarter and a half. But I think they needed to adjust. And for me, I just didn't get why they were throwing the football around so much in the first half. And it seems like they go into halftime, go, all right, here's what we're going to do. A.J. Dillon's our guy. And I think once they start riding him a little bit more, the offense settled down. And I think you saw the defense got a little bit better as well.
No doubt he is. Former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. I am Dan Plucker here on the Green Gold Post Game Show, presented by Lakeland University, live from their studios as well, with online learning in 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms at lakeland.edu. Let's go out back out to the Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line at 855-830-8648 and talk to Jay in North Carolina, listening to the Odyssey app. Jay, give us your thoughts on tonight's game.
Was good, y'all. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
I was going back to what you said, Dan. Like, the offense gets stale, and Gary's been talking about adjustments. I'm just wondering, did they just come out and say, we're just going to run our base stuff? Like, we're not going to do nothing too fancy, and we're going to see how the defense adjusts. Because I think they said, like, our first quarter, we've been outscored in the first quarter. Then after that, we kind of pick it up. But I don't know. It's just like they don't. LaFleur it doesn't seem like he's opened up the offense this year. It's like it's been a spurt. And I say that because you feel like Minnesota, we played them, they came out, they shot all their bullets. Like they were, you know, Kirk Cousins, he was driving down the field. They were just doing all their best stuff. It just seems like us, we just gonna come up with a base game plan. Okay, we get down, we gonna open up the offense a little more. So I don't know. I just think LaFleur just has to open up the offense. Like, we scored 45, like, we got to come out like that every game. Because we, like y'all said, we play Tampa, even Dallas, teams like that. We get down against them. The defense playing like the way we're playing, I don't know if we can come back and, come back and get the win against those teams. So, Yeah, I'm just looking forward to the playoffs, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm waiting for.
Absolutely, Jay. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for call, buddy.
And that's the point where we're at. The Packers are 10-3, and every game, win or loss, people are going to be breaking down games and thinking, how does it impact us in the playoffs at this point? Because everybody and their mother knows that the Green Bay Packers are going to be in the playoffs now. They have 10 wins. That's usually the bar, and they still have four games to go and could be winning even more at that point too. And so you have to start evaluating this team, Gary, correct, as a playoff team now and trying to find those issues that could wind up costing you, which is largely what we've been doing all year long.
I think it's been a work in progress for them, for the Packers. Now, you lose Billy Turner today, and you bring in Kelly over there at right tackle. I think all this has been a moving in progress on how they want to attack teams offensively. Maybe it takes some time to get into what they want to do offensively. If you look at our defense against their offense, they got some big plays on our defense. So they're just going to have to get that figured out. And I think with time, it'll happen. Hopefully you get Jair back, and then they'll sell some things. That'll push everybody down a pecking order a little bit, which they may need.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now the news of David Bakhtiari maybe coming back, all of these different things over the course of the last, 3 weeks, it feels more important than ever after that Billy Turner injury today, because the offensive line, I have to give him credit, and I've been giving them credit all season long, because what Adam Senevich is continuing to do with this group
is unbelievable.
I have never seen anything like this in my entire life, Gary. They have one starter remaining from that first group that they had in week one at the same position that he started the year at, because Lucas Patrick was at left guard and has moved to center. So now you have Yash Nyman, Dennis Kelly on the outside, and then John Runyon and Royce Newman on the guard positions, and Lucas Patrick at center. And that group allowed two sacks today, and both of them were early while Billy Turner was still in this game. So whatever the Packers have to do to keep Adam Senevich as the offensive line coach now and for a long time after this, the Packers have to do it, because he has been nothing short of, like you said, unbelievable throughout the course of this season, losing almost every one of his starters.
No, you're right. I mean, it's just, and right now, short term, it's okay. I don't know what this team looks like against Tampa Bay.
Right. Or Dallas.
I mean, this offensive line. Oh, yeah, that Dallas defense is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I think that would give us problems. I think you're going to have a couple of these guys back to try to go and beat the Bucs or the Cowboys.
Let's go out to Sam in New Berlin at 855-830-8648. Sam, give us your thoughts on the Packers win tonight.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Yo, what's up?
Hey, it's my first time calling, dude. I've been listening since 2014, first time.
Hey, congratulations. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Hey, Gary, if I gave you $1,000, who would you bet on to win the Super Bowl and why?
Right now, today,
who would you bet on?
Good question. Probably Tampa.
And why?
Well, Tom Brady, go beat him. Figure it out. Nobody's beat this
Rodgers. Go beat him.
Yeah, Jackson, but he don't.
He's at halftime, right?
Yeah, he only has one Super Bowl, bro.
I know, it's hard. It's hard, but.
Yeah, Tom Brady, how many got, like 10?
More than any other franchise in the NFL. Tom Brady has 7.
No, I will say this. They're pretty banged up defensively. I mean, they in the secondary right now, they've got some guys missing, so they could be had. Excuse me.
I've lived and died with the Packers since they won the Magic Carpet ride in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I have no confidence in the team. Like, I can't picture them winning a Super Bowl. I don't know what it is. Is it the special teams? There's something that always...
Yeah, the special teams is not special, that's for sure.
But there's something that I'm always, like, apprehensive about. Like, I wish I could just, like, put money on them to win the Super Bowl, and that would be it.
What were you apprehensive about last year? Do you remember?
Last year?
Yeah. In the NFC Championship game, before that game started, it's at Lambeau Field. Yeah, see, and that's what it's going to be.
Oh, I ran right into that trap.
Yeah, there it is.
Sam, thanks for the call.
There it is. Beat him.
You have to beat Brady. That's
Rodgers is going to have to go beat him. I mean, whether you like it or not, I mean, he's just going to have to go beat this dude, man.
I want to go back and see, because I have not done this research myself, but if the team that has beat Tom Brady is the one that winds up being the winning the Super Bowl. Obviously, his last year with the Patriots, the Titans beat him. I have to look that up at some point. Maybe I'll have it tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show or Tuesday when I'm back in hosting. But it's crazy, because you're right. You have to beat TB12. You have to beat TB12. If you don't beat TB12, he's probably winning a Super Bowl. There's not
Buffalo should have won that game today.
They probably should have. And still, Tom Brady found a way with a guy that's been on three different teams this season in Breshad Perriman, the wide receiver who had the 53-yard touchdown or whatever it was to walk it off. Crazy what Tom Brady continues to do and the talent that Tampa Bay continues to find. Let's get to one more call here before we hit a quick break. Ellen Philly, you are on the Green Gold Postgame Show with Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson. Give us your thoughts on the game, El.
Well, first of all, I want to go back to what my fellow Philadelphia said. I definitely feel like the Green Bay Packers is the best team in football. And I hate to hear people on the show try to downplay that, man. I give these guys a credit. You say it all the time. We playing without three all pros, and we 10-3. And it looks like, by the looks of things, by them coming back, things are going to go through Lambeau again. And I definitely don't think that Tom Brady or anybody can come into Green Bay and beat us in the playoffs this year. It's going to be a whole different ball game. We got a pounder with AJ Dillon that we're going to run the ball. As long as we run the ball and establish that in the playoffs and come out and do that, which we really haven't done one game this year, I think that this is going to be the recipe for us to be unstoppable, and we're going to win it. But as far as today's game, I think it was a lot of rust, you know, being a week off. I think that's why the offense started off slow. I think that's why the defense was a step behind. And, you know, they came out with a bunch of, like, misdirection stuff and pretty much, you know, caught us, you know, back on our heels. But once we start, you know, be able to dig in, and then you really start to see the real Packers. You know what I'm saying? That's why we were able to pull away the way that we did.
And, L, when they're the real Packers, I agree with you. They probably are the best team in the NFL, but there have been too many moments this season where they have not been the real Packers, and there have been issues, whether it's special teams, the offense not looking right, or early in the season, not obviously recently, but the defense kind of struggling early this season. Again, not recently, but it feels like all three units have not been on the same page in a game yet, and until I see that, I don't know if I could call them the best team in football.
That's fine. I'm not here to try to change a mind or anything like that. Your opinion is your opinion, but my
thing
is this. There's no perfect team. Like that. So I don't understand why people want everybody to – they'll find – we'll play close to a perfect game, and people will try to find one little pimple and say, oh, well, they didn't do this or they didn't do that.
Sure.
How about Tampa Bay play today? They run defense stink. And I don't understand why in the world didn't, you know, the Bills run the ball more. You know what I'm saying? That's when they started running the ball more, and then they allowed Josh Allen to run the ball. That's when he started gouging them and able to find, the wide receivers open and they were scoring on them. So they're a vulnerable team. And all the other teams that they lost, we beat. So I don't get it. Like Arizona, we beat them. We beat the Rams. We beat them convincingly. Like, I mean, what else we got to do? Like, give the team credit. They deserve it. They deserve to be.
Well, you give them credit. They got to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, we've been to two NFC Championship games?
Two consecutive.
I mean, Rodgers, how many NFC Championship games Rodgers have been to himself and hadn't gotten there?
Four.
I mean, and that's the problem. And until you can get to, I mean, it'd be one thing had we gotten to some of these Super Bowl with Rodgers. We didn't. And so that's what you're kind of cautious against, is that this team under Rodgers, under Matt LaFleur, under Mike McCarthy, whoever you want to put it on, they just have not been able to seal the deal. I mean, and until they do that, I mean, you can say all you want. Yeah, you know, this is it. And this, I mean, last year, the rallying cry last year, correct me if I'm wrong, we need to get Brady in Green Bay. We need to have a home game. We got to have a home game, Brady in Green Bay. That didn't do us, that did us no good at all.
But listen, can I say something, Gary, before you
Yeah.
First of all, What year have you ever been confident with our defense being the way it has?
That's true.
And then also, yeah, you're right about us being a rally call to get them in the Green Bay. But 2 weeks prior to that, we lose our all-pro left tackle. So with that being said, that's the main roadblock. And let's just call it what it was. Brady played like crap against us.
He did.
We threw three interceptions.
He did. So, and that's what I'm saying to you now. I was confident in this defense last year with three picks in the second half.
Like
and we still end up who is Rasul Douglas? Who is he?
Right, I agree.
Right. He ain't Jair. So I mean if you think like and he got a pick six tonight, love it. I mean, Gutekunst, give him credit. But still, I mean, there's still for me personally. Go beat Tom Brady. I'm all in.
Me too. I'm in the same boat. I want to play him. I want him to come back. I don't care if we go there. It don't matter.
But
I want
him. I got another thing. Here's one last thing before you go.
All right.
You know who I don't want to see?
Who's that?
Them Cowboys.
Yeah.
Really?
No. I do not want to see Mike McCarthy and them Cowboys at Lambeau. I'm not with you there, Gary.
I don't want to see them. L, thanks for the call. Gary,
yeah,
Gary,
don't want to see him at all, man.
I'm not with you with the whole Cowboys thing,
and I'll tell you why.
They were
horrible again today.
I'll tell you why after we hit this break, why I'm not worried about the Dallas Cowboys, because I have some reasons. I think the Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys if they do match up.
But it's all going to be hocus-pocus stuff. It ain't going to be real.
Well, we'll see. Aaron Rodgers at the mic now. We'll try to get him in before the end of the show, and Matt LaFleur as well. We'll see if we can get both of those in for you. We'll also at least get the drive of the game. We'll name our MVP, and I'll tell you why I'm not as confident in the Dallas Cowboys as Gary Ellerson. That comes up next here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Who scored first? Was it a big play? It's time for the Schulze Family Beef first score of the game. Schulze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality Wisconsin pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
So from the two, they line up to go for it on a fourth down and goal. Rodgers flanked by Jones. Rodgers fired. Caught, touchdown, Alan Lazard. And our first Lambeau leap of the night on Lazard's third catch of the game.
Alan Lazard having himself a nice little game today in the Packers 45-30 win over the Chicago Bears. He had six receptions, 75 yards, and that score that you just heard, it's Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back, and Dan Plucker with you here on the Green Gold Postgame Show presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network. And after the game, Gary, Lazard having some words, or at least he had some words on a t-shirt that you saw, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What exactly was it again?
I still own you. In his post-game presser. I think you can pull it up there somewhere. It's all over.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's right now on the TV that I'm watching, too. He's wearing a shirt with a gold square on it that has Lambeau Field in it, and it says, I still own you, over the top.
Nice. Yeah.
Man, are they just riding that I still own you stuff.
Well, they're bought in. It's what this is. They totally have bought in.
Packers win 45-30 over the Chicago Bears. An impressive performance by the Packers in the second half and really down the stretch in this game. You can include the last couple minutes of the first half as well. And we've been railing on the special teams and well deservedly for this entire show. And part of me wonders how big of a blowout this would have been had the special teams not been that bad, Gary.
No, I would agree with you. They were horrible. And so they got to get that fixed. I mean, they can make it better. To me, you just got to give a little bit more effort. Stay in your lanes. Be fundamentally sound. They can coach that up. Now, when you're talking about the return, punt return, that you don't coach up. Either you can do that or you can't. They may need to, if they feel like they've got somebody back, that they better try to get somebody ready because you got to coach that up.
Well, and now I want to actually go back to that first score of the game that we just heard from Schulze Family B. Alan Lazard scoring that touchdown on fourth and two. A big game-changing moment there, because it put the Packers on the board. Some momentum finally going on the positive direction for the Packers, Gary. But the thing that puzzles me is in second and third and very short and goal, like 2-3 yards. How are you just not giving the ball to A.J. Dillon every time?
There's another thing, right?
Like, and it's not just this one time. This has happened several times this year.
Repeatedly,
where
all
the Packers
year long.
Are four yards or less on second, third, and maybe even fourth downs, and they don't just hand the ball to A.J. Dillon four times.
On.
Me too. It's confusing as all get out to me. And even so, like, the Packers love doing all their motion stuff. Have Devontae come in motion and either pitch him the ball if you see the outside open, or hand the ball off to Dillon and let him just rumble up the middle. It would be so easy. It's like they're trying to make it really difficult to score touchdowns, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
Agreed.
Because in the goal line situation today, Aaron Jones was the one that actually came in and finished off one of the touchdowns. A.J. Dillon didn't get in the end zone today, even though he deserved to. 15 carries for 71 yards, and really the difference maker in a couple of drives in the second half, where the Packers milked clock, they milked time, and they also moved the ball effectively down the field with A.J. Dillon. It's just so dumbfounding to me that in these red zone fourth and or short situations, you know, they don't just give the ball to Dillon. It just makes too much sense. And for whatever reason, they're throwing the football, it seems, every single down in that circumstance. But nonetheless, the Packers still do win this game. And we still got a lot more here on the Green Gold Post Game Show coming up on the Big Show Radio Network. Excuse me. And coming up next, we'll hear from the MVP of this game, probably Aaron Rodgers. That's next here on the Green Gold Post Game Show. Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson hanging out with you.
The Green Bay game is over. What was the scoring drive of the game? It's time for the drive of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
It is the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson with you after the Packers win 45-30, a bit of a comeback win for the Green Bay Packers, a surprising need for a comeback win against the Chicago Bears, as the Packers do wind up still winning by 2 touchdowns. But they get the job done, and it all started, in my eyes, and with a tone-setting drive to open up the second half. A.J. Dillon just rumbling and tumbling all the way down the field, and then Rodgers connecting with Devontae a couple of times. Also connecting with MVS, they get into the red zone, and then eventually Aaron Jones gets the job done and punches it in.
A little more outside possibilities now.
Jones, he takes it in. So as we say, Dillon does all the heavy lifting, and then the cherry on top of the cake goes to Jones for the touchdown.
So Aaron Jones kind of reaping the benefits of what was a great drive by A.J. Dillon there, Gary.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think when you look at the combination of what they have, is working. And, you know, we'll get into a little bit of that tomorrow. I still think that you need to err on the side of caution with Aaron Jones. You want to have a healthy Aaron Jones for the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to. I mean, he's that big of a difference maker for sure. And A.J. Dillon, too, as long as you can keep his carries low. I mean, he only had 15 tonight. But if you can keep his carries low and still have him have the impact in games like he did tonight, where you could tell the Bears were just getting tired of tackling this 250-pound mammoth that's running at them, it plays a toll. And that drive that Aaron Jones finished off right afterward was the fumble. The Packers immediately recover, score again on the very first play, and then a field goal. All of a sudden, they're up 2 scores after being down 6 going into the break. It changed the course of this football game, how they came out in the second half, and it was really why they wound up winning this game. And the guy that was potentially the best player, actually, he was the best player on the field, future Hall of Famer and three-time MVP Aaron Rodgers was at the mic just a few moments ago, and he talked about this game, how important this win was for him, also how important beating a Brett Favre record in this rivalry was, and gave an update on that toe injury. Let's go up to Green Bay and hear from 12 after the game.
I mean, it's pretty cool to have a celebration. People have mocked it over the years. Probably in good fun. I mean, I've known Robert for a long time. I saw him do it. He looked right at me. But it doesn't give me any extra motivation, but it usually hasn't ended well for most of the people who've done it.
Rob Domofsky.
Aaron, did you see the shirt Alan Lazard wore into his press conference?
If it's the one he wore into the facility, yeah. So.
Well, it was I still own you shirt is what he wore. Do you have one? And did you consider wearing it?
No. I mean, I've already said what I've said. I don't need to double and triple down. I let those words stand for themselves. But, yeah, I can't remember who made the shirts. Did he say that he made them?
A.J. Dillon, he said.
Yeah, A.J. gave me one when he got them. So I definitely have one.
Cassidy Hill.
Hey, Aaron. 6 receptions on 7 targets, 75 yards for Alan Lazard. Those are all season highs for him thus far. Was some of that just a byproduct of Randall Cobb being out, or what was it that was working with Alan tonight?
Yeah, probably Randall being out put him in the slot a little bit more. You know, Quez is very comfortable outside, and although we moved Devontae around in the slot a little bit, once, you know, we weren't able to get him going early in the game, Alan's going to start in the slot for us. So definitely there were some opportunities for him, and he made the most of them, beginning with the first big catch of the game on a 3rd and long. You know, last time out, he had a couple opportunities that I know he wishes he would have came up with. And the Alan that I know, you know, usually makes those plays. So it's fun to see him come out tonight, have a really solid game, make some really important plays for us at important game situations.
Steve McGargy.
You've talked in the past about how much this rivalry means to you. You've now thrown more touchdown passes against the Bears than anybody, or one ahead of Brett Favre. Just what does that kind of mean to you to have you and Brett 1-2 on that and do it personally?
Yeah, that does mean a lot to me. It really does. You know, the majority of stats don't mean much, but this rivalry does mean a lot to me because I've lived in, I'm almost an adult in Green Bay. I've lived here for 17 years and started for 14. I know how much this rivalry means to our fans, and to be a part of it has been really special. Obviously, to follow Brett and know what, you know, how successful he was over his time and how many big games he played in against them. It's a sweet rivalry. It's one that is very special to me. And I knew I was, you know, 3 from tying and 4 from breaking. So I'm definitely going to hang on to that ball. That ball is an important one.
Ryan Wood.
With all that said about the rivalry, we've been talking about the uncertainty of next year for months. Does this feel like your final game against the Bears as Packers quarterback?
No, I don't know, Ryan. I mean, I'm not really thinking about that right now. I'm devoting all my energy and focus to the season. And I don't know. I don't think it's my last against the Bears. You know, I feel like one of the factors in continuing to play would be, you know, can I still play? Do I still have it? Can I still be effective and efficient and make the plays I feel like I'm capable of making? And I think the answer is yes.
MK Burgess.
Hey, Aaron, as the leader of the offense and just the leader of the Packers in general, what are you seeing from special teams that is causing all of the mishaps that you had today?
I mean, I don't know. I don't watch the special teams film, so I won't be looking at that tomorrow from my sideline vantage point. You know, they got a couple of talented returners. I mean, Grant is electric, and we knew it. I mean, you don't see many guys. I've never seen a guy return a punt out of the end zone, but he did. And the touchdown that he had, I mean, he caught it. It was, what, 97 or 98 yards? I mean, he's a special dynamic player. So we knew we had to get our gunners down on him and punt the ball in a certain spot. But even when you do, sometimes you pin him back inside the 5 and he's stumbling. You know, great players can make plays like that. But we need to clean some things up for sure. You know, Chicago has had an up and down season, but obviously they wouldn't be considered a great team at this point. But when you're playing great teams and kind of football we're going to be playing here over the next month, we need to be a lot more sound in that phase of the game.
Wes Hodkowitz.
Hey, Aaron. Obviously, Billy ends up going down. Dennis steps in. I think that was his first time playing in any kind of game since the Texans preseason as far as the offensive side of things. How did you feel you guys did with the O-line? And just what do you think it's said about that group to be able to endure this kind of stretch you've had to go through all season?
Yeah, I think Big D-Bach did a great job stepping in. I love Dennis. I think he's got a real steady personality, and he's a pro's pro. So I was happy to have him out there. I haven't looked at the film, obviously, yet, but just from a field standpoint, I felt like that, you know, he did a really nice job. You know, it's tough to go the entire season, I'm sure, and not play. And then, boom, you're thrust into a game, important situation, down in the game, and you're going to have to play a half plus of football and deal with the, conditioning of that. Because, practice conditioning is one thing, but getting in the game and doing it over and over and long drives, I'm just really proud of them. And the other guys up front, Yash and John and Royce and Lucas, they battle. And I thought we did a good job up front. There's a couple of covered sacks, but I feel like overall we protected well, we ran the football well, and then, just kind of got the ball to our guys at certain times.
Mike Clemens.
Aaron, to come out in the second half with a 75-yard drive and then capitalize after Preston and Rashawn with the turnover. That ball to Aaron Jones, how unique was that play? Because Nathaniel Hackett, they showed him jumping up and down the press box.
That was not where the ball was supposed to go, and that was not in the play at all. There was a play in the preseason in 2005, I believe, playing Buffalo, and Farvey had a keeper to the right and threw it back to Amon Green, who just happened to be kind of, trotting down the left sideline. And I remember how cool that was and how he even got back to Amon in that game. And that was what happened on this one. The play was for Big Dog or Devontae. It was a really well contrived play that they came up with this week. And I really felt like that Big Dog was going to get the touchdown. But as I rolled out, they doubled Big Dog and Tay was covered and the slide was covered. And I just happened to peek back and see kind of Aaron Jones just kind of taking it down the left side, and he turned it up. And right when I was about to throw it, about to release it, I saw kind of a flash of a guy from the left. So I just threw it a little bit higher and softer than I was thinking about throwing it a split second before. But that was not the play call. But we laughed about on the sidelines for sure, and glad it worked out like that.
Marty Hendricks.
Aaron, it wasn't exactly a strong first start for the team, first 19 minutes down 10-0. That second and third quarters, 38 points, 21 and 17. Can you talk about what ignited that change in the offense?
I don't know if there's anything particular. I think that we just hit a couple plays to get us going. And once we kind of got into a rhythm a little bit, that was important. We ran the ball a little bit better there. Then we just started kind of slinging all over the place and, scored that first touchdown. Then Sewell had the pick six to put us ahead, and then they got a couple scores. And next thing you know, we're, looking at the wrong end of a back down 10. So the really, really important drive for us in the 2 minute to take it down there and score. Wanted to get Devontae involved, so moved him into the slot on a few of those plays and got the right coverage. On the touchdown, the unsung hero of the play is Marquez Valdez-Scantling, because he's running the clear out route on the outside to allow for Devontae to run his out and up. And then Tay is just he's so talented to be able to catch that ball in full stride and make a guy miss on the 5-yard line who's barreling down is pretty impressive. So that was a big drive for us. I know they got a field goal for that, but then to come out of the second half, put together a near 6 minute drive was huge. Take the lead back, you know, Preston gets a sack fumble, and then we get a one play touchdown, and we go from down 27-21 to ahead 35-27 pretty quick. And that was definitely one of the turning points of the game.
All right, we'll just do three more. Hunter Baumgart.
Yeah, Aaron, you said the toe felt better, you know, after the bye week last week, not having to play a game. How does it feel after this one? And does it feel better than it has after the last couple of games?
No, it feels worse. I don't know what kind of setback that I had tonight, but we'll look at it tomorrow. But definitely took a step back tonight.
Wes Hodkowitz.
Aaron, Rasul was in here earlier, and he talked about Preston's halftime speech. I know numerous times you've mentioned kind of the friendship you've had with him. Just what have you seen from him this season? You know, and for him to kind of back that up the way he did to start off the second half, what did that do for you guys?
Preston is kind of our game day talker. It's great. He's pregame and halftime usually. He has some impassioned words. He's the kind of guy when he talks, he's respected. Guys listen to him, and guys appreciate his messages. I love Preston. I can't say enough good things about him. The opportunity to get to play with him, to get to become better friends with him, the messages that we share with each other during the week. I just really love the guy. I think he's a good human. He's a great player. And I love what he brings to the team from a leadership standpoint. He stepped into that role even more this year. And I'm very, very proud of him and proud to be his friend and proud to be his teammate.
There was Aaron Rodgers after the game today as the Packers win 45-30 over the Chicago Bears. We'll hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll name our MVP of this game. And Aaron Rodgers, that toe injury, that's going to be the talking point all week long on the Big Show Radio Network. And more next here on the Green Gold Post Game Show presented by Lakeland University.
The Green Bay game is over. What player stood out from today's game? Who made the biggest impact? It's time to name the Van Horn Automotive MVP of the game. Van Horn Automotive Group, with locations throughout Wisconsin and in Iowa. Family born and employee owned. On the web at vanhornauto.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
I mean, was it ever a doubt when Aaron Rodgers comes out and says something like that in the last time the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers met, and then comes out after a bye week, they struggle a little bit, but then Aaron Rodgers winds up getting sacked also, I should say, by Robert Quinn, who then throws the discount double check over Aaron Rodgers. Then Rodgers proceeds to throw for 341 yards and four touchdowns and is the MVP of this game. There should not be any doubt from any fan out there that Rodgers was the best player on this field and the number one reason why the Green Bay Packers won this football game today and why they are 10-3 this season and continue to look like a contender for the Super Bowl. Maybe not the best team in the league quite yet, but very capable of getting there. Matt LaFleur had a bunch of comments after the game too. We were not able to get to them on today's show, but you'll catch all of them tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show in just a couple hours from night. Right now, they're going to have all of that information for you. Sparky, Leroy, and Gary Ellerson will all be breaking the game down even further tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show and all week long. As the Packers beat the Bears 45-30, it wasn't pretty, it wasn't the best game in the world, but they do win this thing. For Adam Roberts doing a great job on the other side of the glass producing, and Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back, I am Dan Plucker. Packers win 45-30 in Lambeau Field, are 10-3 on the season, and guys, there's still that Super Bowl hope on the mind for a lot of Packer fans. More of the Big Show coming up tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Sunday night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.